Welcome to another edition of the Kingdom Driven Family. I'm your host, Andrea Schwartz. To be a Kingdom Driven Family means to make Jesus Christ the center of what you do. And sometimes that's easier than others, especially if you have counsel from those who've walked that journey before you. But a lot of us came to faith and our families weren't necessarily Christian, and this desire to make Christ the center was something that we were learning as we were doing it. Well, one of the things that happens as you have children and raise children is sometimes you see particular giftings. You see someone's talented in the arts or someone is particularly geared towards mathematics. And in our day and age, athletics is a very big thing. And so there's a tendency to see stars, then your child is going to be the next Mozart, or your child is going to be the next Tiger Woods, or your child is going to be the next person who, you know, discovers some new planet or star. And so there's this idea that we have to make sure that our children become everything they're supposed to be or that we want them to be. Well, there's some pitfalls along the way, and in my experience, the best people to talk to in this regards are people who have traveled the path. Well, my guest today is a woman who has become a friend in the last couple of years, and her name is Twyla Anderson, and she lives in North Dakota, and her children both manifested some higher than usual talent in the area of athletics, specifically in the world of golf. And I think it's now about 4 or 5 years ago, her daughter, Amy, won the USGA Girls Junior Championship in golf, which is a international event. And, of course, what interested me was when I found out that the girl who won was a Christian and a homeschooler, something that my family, both things my family has pursued. So I had to do a little research, thank goodness for Google, and I figured, well, if this is a homeschooling family, they probably are part of a homeschool association in their neck of the woods. So I called up and I found who in that area was the homeschool leader, asked if they knew the Andersons, and they did. Got a phone number, and then ended up talking to Mark, Twyla's husband, and eventually Twyla and I talked a bunch. So that's why Twyla's on the phone with me today, to talk about what it's like to raise gifted children and the way in which you should best maneuver your way through it. So Twyla, hello.
Hello, and thank you for having me, Andrea.
All right. So why don't you kind of give a little background on your family, and at what point did you discover that Amy and Nathan probably were a bit accelerated or at least more gifted than the average person when it came to the sport of golf?
You know, it's an interesting question because our family started out, I'm going to have to go back a little bit. He was a sports guy. He liked to play softball, and as time went on, he injured himself, and so he was no longer able to play softball, so he had to find a gentler sport, which happened to be golf, and that's how golf came into our life. I think he was around 33, 34 when he started golfing, and then we had kids, and so he, you know, as a good dad, wanted to kind of incorporate them into his life, and so he'd take them out to the driving range, and, you know, they were really young, so he'd put them in a little tykes wagon, and he would pack some snacks for them, and he'd take that along, and they'd go and be on the driving range with Dad, and Nathan would hit balls, and Amy was so young, she was more interested in picking dandelions or whatever, but they were together, and so they'd spend time out there, and it just was a real gradual process to where they started hitting balls, and then they'd start playing holes, and we just did it basically to be together as a family, and then as time went on, Nathan got real interested and got, you know, pretty good, and we started noticing that he was developing some skills kind of beyond kids his age. And so we were kind of watching him. And then as time went on, Amy was the one that started to develop the talent too. And we didn't really pick up on her because she would play and wasn't real excited about golf necessarily. But she wanted to enter a tournament when she was about 9 years old. And Mark just said, you know, I'll pay for the tournament if you want to do it. But, you know, I have these certain expectations. He wanted her to be able to put some practice in. And so she did. And she hit a lot of balls that month before the tournament. And she went and played the tournament. And she actually won. And so that kind of started something in her. And she got interested. And And I would say over the period of Nathan and Amy's life, their lives, they're close in age, and they've always done a lot of the same thing. So there's always this little bit of competition. I feel like it was a healthy competition, and we kind of watched mm-hmm. that. But it kind of got her to where she kind of noticed how Nathan played, and she won this tournament, and she was starting to get interested. And so that was at 9 years of age. But when she ended up winning the junior amateur for the girls, she was 17 at that point. So in the process of about 8 years, this talent kind of developed. And it wasn't like anything that Mark and I were even interested in for either of our kids. We weren't looking at them, you know, as having golf as a profession or becoming professionals. It's just something we did as a family. Our focus was on our family. We would take one vacation a year to just let them play in a golf tournament that was national, because here they would win things on a local level. And we thought, okay, you know, they're pretty good. They got some talent, but it's like, you know, we'll take them to a national thing and they'll just see that there's other people that are really good. And mm-hmm. they would go there, and it would just motivate them to come back then and to work on their game. So it was just kind of a process of one thing after another, and it was never focused on really golf as an end-all. It was more like a family time together on the golf course, a family vacation, and we just happened to pick something, you know, that was golf. And it mm-hmm. just kind of developed. And when this thing happened in it was 2009 when Amy won the Junior Am, it just opened up a whole new world for us. I mean, it started with colleges interested in her and scholarships, and so it kind of carried us along. It wasn't like we were looking for these things as an end-all, but they just developed, and we kind of prayed about every step along the way because it wasn't anything that we had really looked for. And
okay, so, let me ask you a question for a second here. So by the time that she's noticing she's good and Nathan is performing at a level higher than young men his age,
right,
were you already homeschooling?
Yes, we started homeschooling from the very beginning, you know, kindergarten all the way
Why?
Through 12th grade.
Why did you decide to homeschool? What was the reason you wanted to homeschool?
You know, when I was still working as a single person, I was listening to North Dakota, some legislative things that were happening. I would listen on the radio as I'd go to work, and there was some stuff about homeschooling. And it was my first exposure to homeschooling. I thought, oh, this is kind of interesting. And then we got married, and then we had kids, and of course you start thinking about school, and wasn't even thinking about homeschooling, but as time went on, you know, I remember these conversations that I'd heard on the radio, and my husband's family homeschooled out in California. So I was kind of intrigued with it, and I would, you know, listen to them, you know, what they, I was kind of intrigued with how their kids were doing. They were doing so well, and I thought, well, this is really interesting. And anyway, these seeds were planted along the way, but at that point I thought, you know, this is really nice for you. I didn't think of it for us necessarily, but as time went on, we moved to a small community so that if our kids did go to school, they'd be in a smaller school setting versus a bigger school setting. But then mm-hmm. I started reading, and I started getting connected with some homeschoolers, and as I read a lot of material, I just thought, and Mark and I just, we talked about things, we prayed about it, and we just thought, you know, this is really a neat way to to teach your kids, where you can really be involved with them. You have the main influence with them. Our goal was always to point them to Christ, and we knew that we would have other influences battling with us if we put them into the school system. And I know kids can make it through that, but we just felt like we had to answer to God someday for how we raised our children, and so we thought the best way we could do that is if we were involved, and we thought homeschooling was a wonderful tool. And so we just felt like that would give us the best opportunity, you know, to be the main influence in our kids' lives and point them in the direction that we wanted. So that's basically how we started with the whole process of homeschooling.
And you know, but listeners might not know, my two daughters were very involved in junior golf as well. That's
right.
Why I even noticed that a homeschooling Christian family had something to do with winning the amateur
right,
in 2009.
Right.
But there are a lot of people who homeschool because they don't want this and they don't want that. But you've expressed, and I know we experienced it, there's so many positives that you would do it even if the school systems weren't as bad as they are.
Right.
And even if there was the levels of morality and ethics weren't so low, the ability to set your own schedule, the ability to make a priority what it is you want your children to learn. And it really, in our family, It helped work around my husband's work schedule. He was somebody who worked weekends. So whereas everybody else had their dad on weekends, my kids didn't, but his weekends were the, you know, first and second day of the week. And so a lot of times they had the opportunity to do just what Mark did with your two, is take them out and play. And I kind of got a day off and it was good. And I was ready for the ensuing week afterwards, because I had gotten a break from what I needed to,
exactly,
you know, to rejuvenate.
Yes. And, you know, for us, we could take a vacation anytime we wanted to. I encouraged the kids, you know, we had to go by certain guidelines of homeschooling so many days, you know, out of the year or whatever. But if they were able to get their schoolwork done early, and I said, if you were done, you know, earlier, it's a couple weeks early, that's fine with me. Then you can go out and practice golf when everybody else is still in school. And, you know, all summer we're doing Phi Ed, and, you know, we work on cleaning our rooms and personal hygiene. So it's like we met all the requirements, but we still had all this free time. And we would go to our piano lessons. We would do piano practice. We would do all those kinds of things during the day. And so every night we sat down as a family and we had supper together. So we had a lot of quality family time that we wouldn't have gotten if we'd have had to try to get our homework in after school and go to piano lessons and do the practicing. And I mean, you know, the whole routine. And we absolutely loved having that quality family time on a regular basis and not feeling pulled by different activities. So it was wonderful.
Right. And one of the things that was interesting is that when Amy won, her brother Nathan, who's about, what, 18 months older?
Right.
Yeah, was her caddy. And so that was also a very interesting kind of thing, because for a long time, the USGA wouldn't allow relatives to caddy for the junior competitors. So they still have the rule that you couldn't have mothers or fathers. But when my older daughter got to the point that she was no longer able to play in the competitions, and my younger daughter, who's 7.5 years younger, she petitioned the USGA saying, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't have siblings caddy for each other, because after all, isn't golf supposed to encourage family values? Anyway, they changed the rule.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. I knew that the parents couldn't, and we thought that was really interesting because my husband did caddy for her quite a bit, and so we weren't able to do that. And as time went on, Nathan did, but we never ran into any problem there, so I didn't realize that that had changed. But
the rule had changed somewhere, I think, in 2005, 2006, because my daughter, you know, she was somebody who was always good at trying to persuade us to do things. I said, well, why don't you write to the USGA? Give her an assignment. A writing assignment that turned out pretty well.
Absolutely. No, it's been a really good experience, and they've always gotten along well. And it's, you know, I talked about that competition that they've kind of had, or I feel like it was a healthy competition, but their lives were so parallel all the time. But they really grew up together. They grew up on the course together. We, you know, we kind of also limited their friendships, not that they couldn't have friends, but, you know, we were really involved in helping them find good friends. And we just felt like even if they were good friends, we didn't want them to be playing all the time, because our goal for them was that they become best friends someday. And even good things can distract you from the best things. And so, you know, we just limited how much time they spent with other kids so that they could have time together. And so they did spend a lot of time together. And they, you know, they'd golf together, they did school together. We just did a lot of things together. So their relationship has really been a good thing. And, you know, we nurtured that as parents.
Right. And it was a deliberate thing.
Yes.
And I can say from knowing you all, you got the results you were looking for. Something else that I think would be interesting to people, because there's always this cloud that hangs over homeschooling that says, well, you can't really excel in athletics if you homeschool. You have to be in a regular school setting. And even a private school might not be beneficial, but a public school, because then you have the benefit of the school sports programs. Well,
right.
In golf, that's not necessarily true.
Right.
However, when the time came for college, and as you said, and I know lots of people were suddenly interested in Amy, you guys took the unconventional approach. You didn't send her to the big name school. You guys chose a school that would allow Nathan and Amy to go to school together and to still live at home.
Right. Yeah, I know that the natural thinking is that you have a good golf game, it would be good to go to a school that really has a program that can, you know, help you with your game, but we felt, first of all, that this was not just about golf, this was about the whole person, and we felt that, you know, college is such a time of transition, and there's so many things that happen to kids, like in college, they're exposed to so many new things, and we felt like this would be a time where we really wanted them to be close at hand so we could go through talking about a lot of things as they started to branch out into the world more, that they would go to school and they could come home and we could talk about situations that they would run into. And we felt like that 4 years would be another transitional time where they're more on their own, but we're still kind of in the picture where we could, you know, work through things, talk about things. And that ended up being such a valuable time because I think it helped them to mature under the influence and guidance of their parents. And now, I mean, I know people look at our family and they just think, you know, we've gone from homeschooling where they feel it's very sheltered, and to some degree it is sheltered, but just, you know, for a period of time, and you're gradually opening them up to life and exposing them to more things and talking through things. But I know just last August when Amy had to go to the LPGA qualifying school, she flew out to California all by herself. There was nobody really out there with her. Her coach didn't go. Her parents didn't go. None of her family went with her. And she did the qualifying school all by herself. And I think some people were really surprised by that because, you know, you go from homeschooling like they feel we never leave the house and we never socialize with anybody to this 20-year-old or 21-year-old, I guess she was last year. She went out to California all by herself and did this major competition all by herself. And I think it was surprising to some people. But, you know, for Mark and I, because we've been gradually working on this process and our kids have proved to us that we can trust them, they show us that they're capable. She had been traveling with her golf team. She was familiar with airports. We felt comfortable with her going, and we had a place where she was going to stay and somebody that knew that she was there that we had a connection with. And so we felt comfortable with that. And so I feel like we've been able to, I don't feel like we've had to hold on so tight, you know, out of fear. I think we've learned that they're adults, they're mature, and they are capable, and even at very young ages, but we've trained them that direction, and now they're ready to go out into the world. And right now my kids are in England for a tournament that Amy's in. So I feel like the process has gone really well. I'm sure, you know, every parent can handle it differently, and I've just seen my kids progressing, and it seems healthy, and they seem capable. And so Mark and I have been comfortable with letting them, you know, take those next stages and go on to the next phase of life. So,
right. So it was, in other words, it's like, let's put it into the realm of a baby. You know, then the baby sits up. Okay, now the baby's ready to crawl. Okay, now the baby's ready to stand. Okay, now the baby's ready to walk. None of it has to be a major hurdle if it was happening incrementally and with guidance. So
exactly.
Instead of a lot of injury, or in your case, a lot of drama and,
right,
you know, unintended consequences, your children didn't, you know, tug on the leash like they wanted to get away, and yet you weren't holding the leash saying you can't get away. It was a natural progression.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And the whole decision to stay, you know, at North Dakota State University, which is not considered the golf mecca of the world.
Golf for like half the year because of snow.
Right. And it ended up being a really good decision, though, because her coach was here, and we knew if she went somewhere else, you know, she would get different coaching. We didn't know what they would do with her swing. And her swing was working, so we kept her here with her coach. That was, you know, one of our reasons as well. And as time went on, Amy Anderson in this little state college up here in North Dakota ended up winning 20 of her golf tournaments as an NDSU college player, which actually beat apparently the record that had been set before by anybody in any colleges for Division I. And it's to me, I just look at that and I just think, isn't God interesting?
Right.
I would have never thought, we weren't even looking at that. We didn't even know she had done it until somebody approached us and told us this. And so it's like we haven't been trying to accomplish all these awesome goals. It's just that they've been applying themselves and working hard, and it's just amazing the benefits that have come along. And so we've just been trying to walk through the doors that the Lord's opening up, and we'll see what he has for them at the end. It's been very interesting, but he has a plan,
right,
and we're just trying to walk with it, and it's
right,
been fun.
Doesn't the scripture say God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise?
Absolutely. just going to say it's amazing to live it and to see that he does do it. His word doesn't return void.
Exactly. Now, so Amy broke records. And then when she went to qualify, the LPGA stands for the Ladies Professional Golf Association. It's sort of a grueling test. They don't just let anybody be on the tour. And so you have to go through a series of three qualifiers with international competition. So not only do you have people who are fresh out of college and are high-ranking amateurs, you have people who are professionals who maybe have lost their tour privileges, and they're also trying to, you know, get reinstated. Amy qualified on her first try.
Yes, it was amazing.
And she has now in her rookie year on the LPGA, and Nathan has been her caddy for most of that journey, correct?
Right, and he'll be her caddy till September when he starts his official job. So he's
right.
He's been right by her side.
And I had the opportunity this spring. They were in California for a tournament, and we met them for dinner. And they truly are. First of all, I think a lot of people probably thought they were twins all along.
Yes,
since
we've
so
had that question quite often, right? They graduated
right.
The same year and everything.
Right, because Amy was going to do everything her brother did. But they really are good friends, and it's a lot of fun being around them. And they're not stilted with each other. And I imagine that each of them has appreciated the company of the other, because there's a lot of circumstances and issues they never had to deal with. I imagine anybody who was going to try to take advantage of your daughter knew that her brother wasn't
right. That
far away.
Right, exactly. No, and that's helped mom and dad just, you know, the first year on LPGA, she's, you know, traveling different parts of the world, and, you know, That was a little bit of a stretch. Just she had been over to Scotland, but she had gone with a team, and she went over to the Czech Republic, and she went with a team, and that was before she graduated from college. But now this is the LPGA, and you don't have a coach, you don't have a team traveling with you, so that was a little concerning for us. But to have her brother as her caddy, you know, especially starting out this first year till you get the ropes figured out of international travel and, you know, all of that kind of thing, transportation and whatever. It's been very nice for us to have him there. I think we've come to the conclusion that she's doing fine. He's doing fine. But it's been a comforting thing for us just to have him with her during this time. So he'll have to go to his job and start his life. And we know that that's important too. And we're just going to trust the Lord for the next stage. So
exactly. And one of the things I can say about Amy is she has not hid her light under a bushel at all. When she's interviewed, she gives a very natural, friendly, engaging interview. It's hard not to like her. And she doesn't hide the fact that in bios of herself that she was homeschooled and that she's a Christian. And I know she's spoken at a number of Christian Athletic Association events and such. And we're always taken with just how regular your children are.
They are. They really are. And for Amy, I know for her, I mean, golf has become an important thing, obviously, because it's just been what she's done and just the one step after the other, how it's gone. But in her heart, I know that golf is not the ultimate goal. I mean, her relationship with Christ and talking to others about that is her goal. And so I think she feels that this is an opportunity the Lord has given her. And, you know, we're just going to see what he does with it and the platform that he provides for her. And so her heart really is, you know, to share Christ with others, and she's taken every opportunity that she's been given. And for me, you know, with the whole homeschooling thing, and I know people, it's like, how does that work? How do you do science projects? How does this really work? And just speaking and speech, and, as you know, they did a speech class where they actually did speeches in our home, and we would invite a couple family members over, and then they would send this video back to the teacher, and that was their speech class. And I thought, okay, that's good, but still, you know, I even wondered how this is really going to work. And that was through a college. We were doing dual credit at that time. And she has done just beautifully with speaking in front of groups and composed. And so the Lord is really using this in her life. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how this continues on and what he has in store for her. So
we're big Amy Anderson fans, and it's delightful because you feel like, you know, she's light in an area of darkness. Professional sports, especially for women, you know, there are some aspects of it that are really dark.
Yes.
And to maintain your perspective and your focus and your desire to make Christ known, you know, it's all over your kids, and it's really, it's good to watch. Here's a question that I'm sure people listening might ask. Were there any missteps? Are there anything that you did that you look back and you say, I don't think we would do it that way again?
You know, we were very blessed in a lot of ways. A lot of positive things happened. We took a parenting class at one time that really gave us some direction. I think really got Mark and I on the right, you know, page together. And so when we look back, it's not like we did everything perfect. And it's amazing how God redeems even the things that you don't do perfect. But I think we had a lot of positive things that moved us in the right direction. You know, the things that we would change are probably, I don't know, you know, where we live, we maybe would have changed that. We live in a country club setting, and we just wanted to golf. But, you know, there's situations where people have been born into money, and it's affected kind of how they treat people. And it's been a kind of a hard situation for us where we've lived. We probably would have just picked more of a, you know, a regular golf course in a small town and done something like that. You know, we've talked about that. But at the same time, some of the difficulties that we've gone through, I think God has used it to strengthen our kids, to help us have teachable moments. And I think God has used those things, even though we probably wouldn't have picked them. And if we had been somewhere else, we'd have had other situations we'd have had to deal with probably. So I don't even know if we could say that for sure. There's, you know, I'm sure if I sat and thought about it more, there would be probably some things. But when I look back, I just am so thankful about so many of the things that the Lord brought into our life, whether it was this parenting class or a book that I read, or and those are the things I did. I talked to people and I read books, and I just asked the Lord to really point me in directions where I needed help, because there's a lot of times where I just didn't feel like I was capable of some of these, you know, things. And that's probably one thing that I, you know, would walk away with, is that God doesn't really, he doesn't really call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And so it's like, even if I didn't feel adequate, he provided, you know, what I needed at the time. And so along the way, even though we might have had some difficulties, and, you know, one child might have been more challenging than the other, the Lord just kind of helped us through those things and guided us along. And some of the things that we went through took years to kind of get through, but he was gracious and worked some of those things out. And it's just been really a beautiful thing to see how they have really blossomed and grown into the mature young people that we really wanted them to grow into, with character and just quality people that they've become. So,
And you're not boasting now, because I can attest to the fact that they're both quality people. And what I really appreciate, and this is something that I think families who are currently in the midst of schooling their children and trying to make these decisions, every step along the way, you had a practical application. So even the majors they took in school, they didn't compromise. And because they were athletes, because Nathan also played on his, you know, the men's team there in North Dakota.
Right.
They had something that would be useful in Nathan's case in terms of having a profession so that he could start and support a family. And even in Amy's case, being able to understand, I think her major was in accounting, to be able to have something practical. So they didn't just sort of breeze through the 4 years they were there.
Right.
They, you know, they wanted to come away with something practical. And if I'm not mistaken, in May, when we saw Amy, she was, after her round, she was studying because she was going to be taking her CPA exam or something. I thought, how many professional golfers are studying after the round because they had an upcoming test?
I know. Our goal, even when they got their sports scholarships, was, you know, we want you to leave with an education, and we're just thankful that your golf is happening to pay for it. And so that was kind of how we went into the whole college scene, and her golf continued to progress. And Nathan played well in college too, but he, you know, the men's side is so much more competitive, and it was, you know, a lot harder for him, and his game wasn't probably what it needed to be for professional level or anything. But Amy's continued to progress on. And but in the meantime, no, our goal was that they would have some kind of a degree, because for Nathan, of course, raising a family and having something that would provide for that. For Amy, if it was a job, great. And if it was golf, we didn't want her to stand over a putt and wonder, oh, if I don't get this putt, I'm going to lose how much money today, and have that stress on her all the time. So we wanted her to have a backup plan where she would have an occupation if she, you know, needed that. And even if she gets married someday, it could come in handy. I mean, it doesn't hurt to be well-educated, even as a stay-at-home mom. And sure. So, yeah, our goal was that they would come away with some kind of an education and not waste this 4 years in college. So that's basically what they did.
That's great. Let's say somebody listening wants to follow Miss Anderson. Is there a website or a way in which they can keep track of what she's doing?
I know at this point they're working on setting up a website. I don't think that she officially has one yet. You can go to the lpga.com, and she does have her bio on there, and they'll have different stats and what tournament she's playing. So that would be a place to kind of start following her, and you can always Google her name, and there's a lot of information on her that way. She will have a website at some point where people can, you know, go in and interact with her and watch and see what she's doing. So that's coming.
Oh, good. Okay. And I just want to say this, you know, you and I are in similar stages of life, in that our children are grown and we're not schooling them anymore. And some people think that that's a hardship for a woman, because now what are you going to do with your life? But the benefit, of course, is that you really know your children well, and there's always plenty to do. It's not like there aren't other people who could value from your experience, or that there are other interests you and your husband have, including, you know, spending time edifying and building each other up. So I think that the takeaway from this isn't enjoy them when you have them, because afterwards then your life is over. Your life is far from over.
Right, exactly. There's plenty of people that need help and encouragement.
Well, good. Well, thank you, Twyla. It's been fun, and we should talk more often anyway, but it was nice to have the podcast as a reason to get you on the phone.
Oh, good. It was fun visiting with you too, Andrea. Thank you.
You're welcome. Join me again next time for another edition of the Kingdom Driven Family.